gentleness the same as weakness?
If you have a wind or a breeze out of control, it can be devastating. Too much of a good medicine can kill you. A great animal out of control can bring destruction. But to bring a horse under control, to bring a medicine in the right prescription, to bring a gentle breeze upon a day that it is needed, that is to be meek, that is to be gentle, that is strength under control. Gentleness is not denying your power, but it is knowing that the power that comes through you is not from you.
Welcome to PowerPoint with Jack Graham. Meek does not mean weak. Today, Pastor Graham will explain. Now with his message called, How to Be a Gentle Man and Woman. Here's Pastor Jack Graham.
I would invite you to take God's word and turn with me, please, to the fifth chapter of the book of Galatians. And once again, we are stirring the ingredients of a beautiful life, the fruit of the Spirit. You know, the beautiful life is a balanced life. And therefore, each expression of the fruit of the Spirit, love and joy and peace and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control, all joined together comprise the beautiful and balanced life of Christ living in us. And remember, the fruit of the Spirit is for all of us, and all of it is for all of us. This is the fruit of the Spirit. When you look at the fruit of the Spirit, you do realize that this is a very high and holy standard. It's as though we're just getting to one, and then we're moved to an additional height. We're climbing a ladder, it seems like, and we're trying to reach this fruit, and each one seems to be beyond our human reach. And you know what? It is beyond our human reach. Because we don't get the fruit of the Spirit by climbing higher on ladders or by attempting to do more, to be more, but rather this is the work of the Holy Spirit. And when we cultivate the Christ life in our life, when we cooperate with the Holy Spirit in our lives, then the beautiful ingredients, the fruit of the Spirit, produce a beautiful life. The fruit of the Spirit is gentleness. There are two men in the Bible who are described as gentle. This word is also translated meekness or gentleness in the Scripture. Two, and only two men are described in this way in the Bible, one in the Old Testament, one in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, Moses is described as a meek or gentle man. Now, for those of us who think that meekness is weakness, or the connotation somehow of gentleness speaks of someone who is soft or spineless or sentimental or spiritless, lest you think that, remember, Moses, who was meek and gentle, the most meek and gentle man on the face of the earth, he is the same man who boldly, courageously stood before Pharaoh and said, "Let my people go." Same man who led the children of Israel on one of the greatest journeys of history, and that was the Exodus out of Egypt and onto the land of promise. This great and powerful giant of a leader, Moses, was gentle. The second person that is described in the Bible as gentle is none other than the Lord Jesus himself. Paul calls him both gentle and meek in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Certainly we know that Jesus, even in his triumphal entry as the king, the Scripture says in Matthew chapter 21, "Behold your king who comes riding lowly, gently, on a donkey." Jesus was born in humility. He lived in obscurity. He practiced a lowly profession, as it were, though a noble profession of being a carpenter. He was a man's man in every sense of the word. If you were to have shaken the hand of Jesus, there would have been calluses there, and you would have experienced a firm grip. My dad, in the early years of his life, was a lumberman, and one of his brothers was a carpenter. And every time I took their hands, I realized how rough their hands were. They were working with wood. Jesus had calloused hands, but he had a gentle heart and a gentle spirit. And he said, in introducing himself and inviting people to himself, of all the things that he could have said, rather than referring to his power, his authority, his greatness, his glory, he said, "All of you who labor and are heavy laden, come to me. For I am gentle and humble of heart. Come and I will give you rest." Jesus introduced himself as gentle and meek. And when we see the gentleness of Jesus, we are reminded of how far we have to go in the Christian life if we're going to be gentle like Jesus. It was Jesus who wrapped up little children in his arms. It was Jesus who paid attention to people that no one else paid attention to, who touched leprous sores and helped broken people. It was Jesus who elevated the human experience by his very presence. It was Jesus who put his arm around stooped shoulders, shoulders that had been stooped by shame, and embraced them and welcomed them and hugged them into the kingdom of God. Gentle Jesus. Rather than the harshness of religion of the Pharisees, Jesus came with the gentleness of God. He came as the gentle and good shepherd. Jesus said, if you're lost, if you're broken, if you're hurting, no matter what you're going through, I will embrace you with my tender love. I will hold you with my tender touch. Jesus is gentle. Therefore, the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness. Now, we're going to ask and answer some questions today. First, what does gentleness mean? What is this fruit of the Spirit called gentleness? Well, as you might already surmise, it certainly, definitely is not weakness. It is not a weakness to be gentle. It is a strength to be gentle. You can be bold as a lion. You can have the heart of a lion and yet the tender touch of Jesus. You can be strong in your courage, your character, and your commitments, but have a strength that is equal to every task, but that strength is under control. And that's what meekness or gentleness is. If I could simply define it, it is strength or power under control. The word was used in the day of Paul, the day of the Bible, in several ways. It was a common word. It was used to describe a gentle breeze. Or it was also used to describe a gentle medicine, a medicine working to cure and to heal. It was also used to describe the taming or the meeking of a horse, taking a stallion, a strong and powerful animal, and bringing that horse into submission, not breaking the horse to the point where the horse loses its strength or its power, but rather brings that power under control. If you have a wind or a breeze out of control, it can be devastating. A medicine, too much of a good medicine, can kill you. A great animal out of control can bring destruction. But to bring a horse under control, to bring a medicine in the right portion and prescription, to bring a gentle breeze upon a hot day or a day that it is needed, that is to be meek, that is to be gentle, that is strength under control. How to be a gentleman, how to be a gentlewoman is more than a common courtesy. It is the fruit and the work of the Spirit which produces submission to the will of God, submission to the Word of God, and consideration towards others in our attitudes and our actions. It is gentleness. Gentleness is not denying your power, but it is knowing that the power that comes through you is not from you. It is the power of Jesus Christ. Albert Barnes, New Testament, Old Testament scholar, wrote commentaries called Barnes Notes. And he gives a powerful, somewhat lengthy definition of gentleness or meekness, but I want to share it with you. It's so good. He writes, meekness, gentleness, is patience in the reception of injury. It is neither meanness nor the surrender of our rights nor cowardice, but it is the opposite of sudden anger, of malice, of long-harbored vengeance. Meekness is the reception of injuries with the belief that God will vindicate us. Meekness produces peace. It is proof of true greatness of soul. Now look at that again. Proof of true greatness of soul. It comes from a heart too great to be moved by little insults. It looks upon them with pity. He that is constantly ruffled, that suffers every little insult or injury to throw him off his guard and raise a storm of passion within, is at the mercy of every mortal that chooses to disturb him. The great heart of gentleness is strong in the face of energy or injury or insult. It is the quiet calmness. It is the greatness and the largeness of the soul in which Christ is alive. It is living in peace and serenity and stability. It is the quiet confidence of knowing who you are and whose you are in Jesus Christ. That's gentleness. Isaiah the prophet said in Isaiah 30 and verse 15, in quietness and confidence is your strength. It is confidence and calmness of spirit. It is living under the control of the Spirit of God. That is gentleness.
You're listening to Jack Graham's message titled, How to Be a Gentle Man and Woman. Just a quick reminder, you can order a copy of today's message on CD on our website, jackgraham.org. And while you're there, be sure to check out our extensive selection of products and gifts, as well as our archive of previous messages from Pastor Graham. Our website again is jackgraham.org. Before we rejoin Pastor Graham, you can receive a copy of his 365-day devotional called A Daily Encounter with God when you call 1-800-795-4627. This resource is our gift to say thank you for your financial support of this PowerPoint program. And this is the final week for this offer. So call and request yours today. Our number again is 1-800-795-4627. Well, today's message is titled, How to Be a Gentle Man and Woman. Once again, here's Pastor Jack Graham.
How do you measure gentleness? How do you know if you have it or you don't? Well, let's start number one with this. Gentle people gently respect all people. All people. In other words, gentle people have a humble attitude, a gentle spirit towards those who are important in their lives and those who may be inconsequential in their lives. For example, it's important that we treat those that we love with gentleness and respect. Isn't it interesting in our homes, in our families, the people that love us the most, we treat the worst. We don't show common courtesies or consideration to our wives, to our husbands. If a celebrity came to our house, if a president or a world leader came to our house, we would treat them with the utmost concern and consideration and courtesy. We would live in rapt attention. And yet we're told in the scripture that we're to treat all people equally, that we're to discriminate against no one, that we're not to show judgmentalism towards anyone. As a matter of fact, in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3, the Bible says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Now that's a hard one, to consider others better than ourselves. But that is gentleness. That is meekness. It is respecting all people. Gentleness is never rude or demanding or demeaning towards others. And not only are we to show respect and humility towards those that we know, but also those that we don't know. We're to be considerate and courteous towards workers and clerical people and secretaries and employers. And I could go on and on. People that work in the fast food restaurant. As Christians, we are to have a gentle spirit, not a demanding spirit, not a hard, caustic veneer, but rather the gentle heart and the gentle touch of Jesus. You know, they say there are two kinds of people who walk in a room. There's the kind of person who walks in the room and says, here I am. And then there's the kind of person who walks in the room and says, there you are. What kind of person are you? A gentle person is considerate of other people in the room. The agenda, the conversation is not selfish, but it is selfless. This word gentleness or meekness is akin to the word humility. And you know, humility is not thinking lowly of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less and less and less. We are to respect all people. Gently respect all people. Secondly, how do you measure it? By gently restoring broken people. Gently restoring broken people. You're in chapter 5 of Galatians. Look at verse 1 of chapter 6 of Galatians. It talks about restoring people who have fallen away or stumbled into sin, overtaken in a fault or a sin. Verse 1 says, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of" what? Not harshness, but gentleness. Not putting your thumb on the person who's down and holding them down, but it is the ministry of the body of Christ. It is the work of Christians when people stumble and fall and fail and are overtaken, because we have received much grace, to also give grace and to seek to restore that person to Christ and to the church. The word restore is a word which is used, again, a medical term, the healing of a bone or the restoration, the setting of a bone. Now, to set a bone, to restore a fracture, is very important. When I was about 6 or 7 years old, I was a go-get-em kind of a kid. And, I was getting into a lot of stuff a lot of times. My mother never thought I would live to be 12. And if I did, I think she thought she wouldn't. Just one thing after another. One day I was in my roller skates and I had my key and I tightened them up real tight. Remember roller skate keys? I tightened those babies up real tight and I'm just shooting down the sidewalk in front of our house and I want to do a little jump, so I jump up in the air, try to do a little fake twist, and I land and fell on my arm. And I looked at it and I thought, my goodness, I've broken my arm. And I remember thinking to myself, now I'm not going to cry. I'm not going to cry. I don't know why I thought that, but I thought, I'm going to show everybody how tough I am. And I walked in where my mother was in the kitchen and I held it up. And I said, "Mama, I think I broke my arm." Ah! You know, we jump in the car. We're all night. We go to the hospital. They take the x-rays. Yes, it's a clean break right there. So what they do, they put me to sleep to set it. And in those days, it was chloroform. Remember that? That was the worst part of the whole deal, that chloroform. And they put me to sleep. When I woke up, I had this big, beautiful cast on my arm. And I was feeling pretty good about that cast. I was feeling pretty good about the fact that I didn't cry. And I'm feeling good about my cast, because I'm going to get all my friends to sign it. You know, the girls are going to pay attention to me. And my teacher's going to like me. And I'm going to maybe get out of some school work. And I mean, a lot of good things could happen. So I got this cast. And I'm loving it. By about the middle of my run with this cast, I'm ready to get rid of this thing. Finally, day came, I'm getting my cast off. I was going to be out of prison. And so, you know, they take that saw, cut it off, and I'm so happy, my arm's all healed, it's all set, I can't wait, you know, to get strong again. And so I go home, and I'm so happy, I'm just free as a bird, and I get my little red wagon, and I put one knee down on it. You know, remember how you did this? And you just charge down that sidewalk, and I'm going again, I'm driving this thing, I'm pushing it, and I hit that same bump, fly up in the air, land on that arm, and break it again. The same day, I get my cast off. This time I cried. Not because it hurt all that bad, but because I didn't want the cast and I sure didn't want that chloroform. We go to the doctor's office and I'm saying, "Don't put me under, don't put me under. I don't want that stuff, I don't want that stuff." And so he's looking at my arm, he's looking at me, he's moving around, he's talking to me, distracting me. All of a sudden he goes, and he set that thing back in place. They put a cast on it, restored it. And they say, where bones are broken, that you're stronger in the broken places. Well, I tell you that silly little childhood story to simply say that when people are broken, God's people are to come along with gentleness and restore those who are broken, to fix as best as possible what needs to be fixed. And that's gentleness. Rather than harshness and cruelness when people fail and falter and fall, we are to go with the love and the tenderness of Christ and embrace people with the love of God. That's how you measure it. You measure it by gently respecting all people, by gently restoring broken people, and thirdly, by gently responding to angry people. Proverbs 15:1 says, "A gentle answer quiets anger, but a harsh one stirs it up." When someone, you know, the temperature is rising in a conversation or in a conflict, the gentle person has the calmness of spirit to lower the rhetoric, to lower the volume, to listen more than he talks. It's not the loud, the boisterous, but rather the gentle giant. Fourthly, gently relate to unbelieving people. We are to gently respect all people, both the important people in our lives, the inconsequential people in our lives. We are to gently restore broken people, those who are hurting because of sin. We are to gently respond to angry people, and we are to gently relate to unbelieving people. Turn your Bibles to 1 Peter 3, verses 15 and 16. "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks a reason for the hope that is in you." If you live for Christ, people are going to say, "What is it about you? What about your life is so different? Why do you have this hope? Why do you know for sure that you're going to heaven?" How do we respond? We are to give an answer for the hope that is in us with meekness. There's our word. Gentleness and fear. Our culture is often opposed to the message that we bring. And if we're going to connect the gospel with this culture, we're not going to do it by shaking our fist and raising our voices. We cannot outshout the darkness, but rather we're to outlive the darkness. And one way we do this is by a gentle approach, a relational approach. When we are sharing Christ, the reason for the hope that is within us, we will do it much more with gentleness than with harshness. One final word in our message, and that is, why does gentleness matter? Why does it matter? It matters, number one, because it pleases God. Above all else, it pleases God. In Matthew 5:5, the Beatitudes, the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "Blessed are the meek, blessed are the gentle, for they will inherit the earth." When you obey God and submit your will humbly and gently before God, God will give you grace. But I'll tell you something else. It not only pleases God, this gentleness, but it produces peace. Again, I quote from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 30 and verse 15. "In quietness and confidence will be your strength." It produces peace. When you are calm and relaxed, when you have a gentle spirit and a quiet heart, that's good for you. It's good for your cardiovascular system. It's good for you physically. It's good for you mentally, emotionally, and certainly spiritually. It's that old saying, if you can keep your head when others all about you are losing theirs. That's the peace. If you can roll with the punches, if you can respond to the insults and the injuries with peace, and to those hard chargers, the rough and tumble kind, if you can show a quiet and gentle heart and spirit like Christ, you will be different and you will stand out. Gentle people are exalted by God. They are admired by others. They are strong in character, determined in commitment, and faithful to follow Christ. And there's nothing more beautiful than a life filled with the gentleness of Jesus.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham and the message, How to Be a Gentleman and Woman. Remember, you can order a copy of today's message on our website at jackgraham.org. When you're online, be sure to shop our e-store or stream previous messages from Dr. Graham to help you grow spiritually. Our website again is jackgraham.org. And remember, we would like to send you a copy of Pastor Graham's 365-day devotional called A Daily Encounter with God, filled with scripture and challenging devotional thoughts for each day of the year. A Daily Encounter with God will empower you to live full out as a servant of Jesus Christ. This is the final week for this offer, so give us a call and request your copy today. 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. Pastor, I know you've been eager to cite one of your favorite examples of gentleness.
In some circles, gentleness is seen as weakness, and some people think, I guess, that it's almost a character flaw. But in God's Word, in God's way of life, it's not a weakness at all. When you look at the Bible, and specifically Galatians 5, you will discover the fruit of the Spirit and the qualities of the Spirit. This virtuous life in Christ is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And all of these joined together comprise the beautiful and balanced life of Christ living in us. Ronald Reagan was not only a great president and a powerful national and international leader, but by his own testimony, he believed and trusted in God, and he was a man of gentleness and meekness, a powerful man and yet a humble man. I heard a story about him that I absolutely love. Shortly after the assassination attempt upon his life, as he was recouping in the hospital there in Washington, D.C., he'd gotten up to go to the restroom. And he was overheard in this room banging some things around, and an aide, of course, went to check on him. When the assistant went into the room, to his surprise, he saw the president down on his hands and knees on the floor, all fours, and he was cleaning up something spilled. The president had spilled some water on the restroom floor, and here was the president of the United States, the recovering and injured president of the United States, down on his hands and knees with paper towels to clean up the mess. Sort of nervous and excited at the same time, the assistant said, Mr. President, get up. You don't need to do that. We have plenty of people who can clean that up. Mr. President, you don't have to do that. And Ronald Reagan said in his own style, I made this mess, and I can clean it up. You see, he was the president, and even though he was recovering from a bullet wound, he was humble and gentle, and yes, he cleaned up his own mess. That's strength and power under control. That's being a gentle man, according to Jesus. When we walk in the Spirit, we walk in the Spirit of Christ, which is the Spirit of gentleness. Gentleness is not weakness. It is not the denying of your power, but it is rather humbling yourself under the mighty hand of God, allowing Him to use you for His glory. Be a gentle man. Be a gentle woman. And people all around you will know that Jesus is living in you.
And that is today's PowerPoint. And join Pastor Graham next time as he explains how you can restore a sense of order to your life. That's on the next edition of PowerPoint with Jack Graham.